This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I usually say this in church, I'm free to walk around, am I not? Hallelujah. I'm home, hallelujah, at CIU. Let me button my jacket and be a little formal. But I'm just delighted to be home here. It's been a pleasure to receive this invitation to be able to minister with you. I'm delighted. Dr. Jones, thank you. And Brother Andre, thank you so much for the invitation. And I'm just overwhelmed to be here in this spot. The last time I remember, I was in that spot where you are. Amen. Amen. So I want you to look at your neighbor and say, tell your neighbor, neighbor, it might be you next. Amen. 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 I don't want to use too much time in ways, just we want to thank God for this opportunity to be able to minister with you today. And it's a great pleasure. To be among the people of God, to be among the students of CIU, and I'm glad to see that the Lord is prospering you in all your ways. There are challenges I know that exist in your lives and at the school and here, there, and in most places there are challenges, but we have overcome the challenges because Christ has overcome the world. Amen? And so I'm delighted just to share with you for a little while this morning. And I usually say this at my church, if y'all will allow me to just be at home for a few minutes, I'm going to say, we usually say, I'm bringing to you a command today to let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if you come to Haskell Heights, which is just across the woods, you might hear us do a lot of shouting and a lot of noise going on at Haskell Heights because we take that very seriously. We say, let everything, amen. Look at your neighbor one more time and ask him, do you have some breath in you? If you've got some breath in you, then we say, let everything that hath breath give God some praise, amen. Hallelujah. All right, praise the Lord. The Super Bowl was last week, and we made a whole lot of noise at the Super Bowl. Amen. But I served one that made a better touchdown than I've ever seen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I won't keep you too long, but I want to share with you from the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. And we are mindful that this is a week with the theme that we're discussing is reconciliation. And what a theme that the Lord would give us to be able to honor his name, because we are ministers of reconciliation, and that is our task here that is set before us. And I want to point your attention to the passage in Ephesians, the second chapter. If you have your Bibles, amen. I know that CIU did the best that they could to try to steer me a little bit away from the King James Version, but somehow I like the poetry that I read in the King James, amen. So we'll be looking from the second chapter. I'll be reading from my version, New King James Version. And if you look at the 11th verse down through the 18th verse, it says, wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens in the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Verse 17 says, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For in verse 18, our concluding verse, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And I remember a time when we were growing up. I'm sure you would remember this. I don't know if maybe I'm going to date myself by saying something like this, but there was a time when we used to grow up and we would go into the yard, and because there wasn't a whole lot to do, we would find two old bicycles, neither of which was worthy of riding in our yard. And we would take parts from the two bicycles and would make one bicycle that everybody could ride, because inevitably there would be parts from one that were good and parts from another that were good, but stand alone, they could not function in and of themselves. And so we would take and put all day the parts from both bikes onto one frame so that we could make a bike. Now, it would look all kinds of different ways. It would have yellow pedals, maybe a yellow and a red pedal. I wish somebody knew where I was going today in these few minutes. It would have a red pedal maybe, and a yellow pedal. It might have a green frame. It might have a black wheel on the front, and it might have a blue wheel on the backside. Amen. It might have a little big frame on one, big wheel on one side, and a small wheel on another side. But I've come to realize that that's how the body of Christ looks, that we're very diversified in our approach, that God puts us together, taking from various parts of those which are not functional, but putting together in one frame different varieties of us, little, small, big, red, yellow, black, green, blue, and whatever color that we might even conceive in our minds. God has given us the capacity and the ability to put together in one frame. I don't mean to yell at you. I usually say this at Haskell in the morning. But we put this together in one frame so that it becomes fully functional and it's able to do the work with which it was intended. Amen. So I want you to consider with me in that analogy of what the scripture says, making one new man out of two. Making one new man out of two. I found in my years over at Haskell Heights First Baptist Church that one of the most pressing challenges that I've had to address and deal with in the church today is getting people restored into the work of the community after they've had a term of incarceration. Can I get a witness there today? You know, we were commanded, for I was hungry and you fed me. You gave me meat and you gave me drink when I was thirsty. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. That was the mandate that we were given, that we would take care of those who would be incarcerated. And I found that the difficulty wasn't in the taking care of the membership when they had fallen to that unfortunate incident of being incarcerated, but when they get out is one of the most challenging and difficult situations to try to get them not only cleared of their guilt sentence, but get them reconciled back into the community. Do I have a witness this morning? I want you to consider one who has committed a crime and he's paid his price. He's been acquitted of the penalty by the action of the court, and this person has been removed from our community for such a time as he's had to serve his sentence, but he's been returned but not restored. And the thing that I've learned is that the further action that's necessary in the church is not to just allow a brother to be returned to the church, but he has to be restored into the community. He has to be restored into the fellowship. Such that I found was, when I did my research, y'all know I'm from CIU, so I did my research. Amen. So I need you to know that when you look at the word reconciliation, it's a twin word with the doctrine called justification, where you have been acquitted of the guilt of the sin that's been committed. But it's not enough, church, to be acquitted of the sin such that you don't have to bear the guilt anymore. You need to be restored into the fellowship. Tell your neighbor, fellowship. You need to be restored into the fellowship whereby you were taken out of. Amen. Such is the task of reconciliation. This Ephesian letter that we see today, Paul took on the great task of trying to restore two factions, two groups of people, the Jews and the Gentiles. And I found it very interesting as I talked in a school with a missionary emphasis that we generally go out to seek the lost. And we go out to try to win back those who have been turned around and misled, and those who we called have not received the grace of Jesus Christ. But what I've come to realize is that Paul is not talking to those who are lost. He's talking to the church of Jesus Christ. Hence, when the Lord gave me this message, I recognized, I said, well, yes, Lord, this is for CIU. I need to tell the student body, and I need to tell the faculty, I need to tell us brethren and sisters in Christ, that there's a task that waits before us, even in the church, to not only reconcile those to Jesus who have been lost, but there's a task to reconcile within the body of Christ. That we've got to make sure that Jew and Gentile alike that are calling themselves after the name of Christ have come to a oneness that will witness to the world of the power that exists in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to have to move through this now. Usually they give me all the time I want, but I know you've got to get back to lunch and class and all this. But I want to go through the text, if you don't mind, for just a little bit. I want you to look with me at the problem in verses 11 through 12, the problem. I want to look at the provision in verses 13 through 16, verse 13 through 16, the provision. I also want to look in verse 17, the preaching. And then I want to look at the practice in verse 18. Let me just say that again so that you can maybe study that later again. The problem in verse 11 through 12, the provision in verse 13 through 16, the preaching in verse 17, and the practice in verse 18. Amen. Let's look a little bit at the problem. In verses 11 and 12, we're looking at a situation here where it says, wherefore members being, one time you being past Gentiles, in past times being Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. There was a division between the Jew and the Gentile. And just to put it real plainly, that the Jew, because he was the chosen one of God, because he was the one who had already been of record to be the chosen vessel that God would use, did not want to include the unchosen vessel without him submitting to what we call the process of proselytizing, going out to win over a brother into your way of faith. Amen? Amen. And so the Jew was having a problem with the Gentile in that they didn't feel like they were one together and there was no unity between them. In verse 12, it says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens. And I find it so because we're celebrating in the month of February, the Black History, the month that we celebrate Black History. I find it very interesting that it's just of note that we were aliens one time. And I try to tell the church, because we have a predominantly African-American church, we try to make sure that we understand that there was a grace, hallelujah, in us coming to Jesus Christ, because there were some folks who reached out. There were some folks who understood in their hearts what reconciliation was really about and could come across cultures and take what that Jew was to take some Gentiles who were way out on the left end and try to bring them to the center where they could find the grace and the favor of Jesus Christ. But they were saying in verse 12 that these were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant. They didn't have any part with the promise that God had promised to the Jews. Amen. Didn't have any part with that. But I found here where you have a problem, there's always a provision. When there's a problem, there's always a provision. In verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made near by the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. We were made near We were brought from our far state. We were made near by the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to tell somebody today that it was the blood that pulled us out of dark places, and it was the blood that pulled us from the corners where we resided. It was the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed, that washed away the guilt of stain, that the stain of guilt that we bore, the stain of shame that we bore. It was the blood of Jesus Christ that led us to oneness with Jesus Christ. In verse 14, it says, "For he is our peace." We were at war, church. We were at war, students. We were at war, faculty, with the God of the universe, the God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We had set ourselves at war with the God who created the very heaven and the earth that we walk upon. I don't know how silly is that, but how could you fight with somebody who out of nothingness brought all this that you stand on? But we found ourselves being in opposition with him who created us. Not that we had strength, but we had arrogance to stand up and be against God. But I thank God for the blood, because it says in verse 14 that he is our peace. That means that there's a shalom that covers us. There is no more war that we are against our Savior. We're not against our Creator. We're not against our Sustainer. There is no more war between me and my God. That the blood of Jesus Christ was the provision. God sent his only begotten Son so that he might die the death, amen, that would reconcile me back to the God who created me. And let me just make it, let me put myself back in classroom mode. You know, the thing that was holding the Jews and the Gentiles apart in the first place was this thing called the law. But when Jesus Christ came and he shed his blood, when he shed his blood fulfilled the requirement of the law. Hallelujah, somebody. And so when he fulfilled the requirement of the law never, not again could stand in between what the Jew and the Gentile would represent. That there was nothing. Now, when God was making one man, one new man out of two, God was taking two that were on various sides, hallelujah, of the fence, and he was taking his blood to unite them. That thing is called, that phenomenon is called the church. That phenomenon that takes and makes conflict. You know, anytime when there's a conflict situation, there has to be an intermediary agent. There's got to be something introduced in the process that brings some kind of resolution to the conflict. When we brought resolution to the conflict, that was the blood of Jesus Christ that was introduced into our situation, such that we were able to make a compromise. And that compromise today is called the church. Let me move on before my clock starts counting down. Hallelujah. We were reconciled by God by the death of his Son. Humanity was not able to reconcile itself, but God was so gracious in that he lent his hand while we were yet sinners. Christ died that we might be able to be reconciled back to him. God did the reconciliation by eliminating the hostility by the Son, the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so I say in Black History Month in our churches that we not only celebrate the great thing called liberation, where we have the freedom to worship Christ, but we celebrate the reconciliation that we've been brought back together with our brothers and sisters. Because I say this, and I won't leave this place today before I inform you that it's a crazy thing for us to think that we can get by without our brothers and sisters. That God made a body of Christ together as one. That we won't be able to function one without the other. You can take a look at your neighbor and just realize that you need your neighbor in order to make it through. Hallelujah, somebody. You need your neighbor in order to have the power that God intended for you to have to move and to breathe through this earth. Amen. Amen. Then I want you to look at verse 17, that he said, after he had reconciled us through the blood of Jesus Christ, he came and he preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which were nigh. Hallelujah. What naturally follows that after you've received a provision is the preaching of the message. Amen. And that's where we come in, that the provision of grace was in the preaching. Hallelujah. We've got to be faithful preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got to take this message not only in the classroom, but we've got to move it outside of the classroom and outside of the doors. It's got to be on the streets, and it's got to be in your homes. The message is It's got to go into your clubs and in your neighborhoods. It's got to go into your social organizations. It's got to go into the places wherever God allows you a sphere of influence and some place where your feet may be planted. God has given you the opportunity to take and preach the gospel. And so I say to you today, CIU, preach the gospel in season and in out of season. You've got to preach the gospel of peace so that you might be able to fulfill this verse 17 mandate that once a provision has already been made, you've got to preach the message. For it's the preaching of the gospel of peace that those who are on the lost side will come and hear a message of reconciliation in your voices. But I want to say this with the time that remains, because we're talking about making one new man out of two that were opposed to each other. But God, and I'm an engineer by original trade, so I made a function box. And I made a function box to say that the function box was Jesus. And anytime you put one man into the function box and another man into the function box, out of the function box comes the church. That when you're able, I don't know if you understand that, if you're any mathematicians in the place today, but when you're looking at a function box and Jesus is the function, hallelujah, he does something to you. It's because of what he's done that when you introduce the two old men into the box, that what comes out of the box is one new man. That God can take two opposing sides and bring out one new man. Amen. God can take two of you. Never mind. It could be in your marriage. God can take two folks that are against each other. Hallelujah. And if you apply it to the function box of Jesus, out of the function box comes one unified marriage. That if you take and put two opposing partners in a function box, that if you take them and two friends that have been fighting, but if you put them in the function box and Jesus does his thing, whatever it is that he does in the function box and cools us out, there out comes the church of Jesus Christ in a unified way. If you take, hallelujah, somebody who's in the Middle East and somebody who's on the far west side and you put them into the function box, church, I need you to know that once you put two in that are on opposing sides and Jesus does his work in the function box, that out comes the church of Jesus Christ in a unified fashion. That if you take and you put, that, oh, if these are parents or if they're children, some of us need to know that but when we have odds and when we're against each other, sometimes it's the parent against the child and the child against the parent, whatever it is, the student against the instructor, whatever it is, we can put those in the function box. And when Jesus does his work on the function box, out comes the church of Jesus Christ. Oh, the church is such a precious thing. I need you to know that we've got to be faithful to preach this message that there is reconciliation possible in the blood of Jesus Christ, that there is reconciliation that's possible. Whenever you meet up with somebody who's not on the side of the Lord, you just need to stand on one side of the function box and you need to introduce them into the other side of the function box so that what you know is the outcomes, the church of Jesus Christ. Y'all listen to me for just one moment. Not only do we have the preaching of the message, after that we've had the problem. And God has given us a provision for the problem, and we've been faithful to preach the message. But I want to tell you this, that the last P I want to talk about is the practice. And I got excited about this. I want to tell you this, and I think it's counting down on me right now. So I want to tell you this. In verse 18, it says, "For through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father." And anytime I found Dr. Jones in the scripture where the word spirit, I've done this, I did this after I got out of class, amen, but anytime I've encountered the word spirit, I've understood that God is providing an empowerment. Hallelujah, somebody. You ought to shout on that one. God is he's giving us an empowerment. You know, here's what I want to tell you before I leave this podium today, CIU. I want to tell you that, you know what, we've stopped the gospel too short oftentimes. When I look at this verse, we stop the gospel message that we're faithful to tell folks about the passion of Jesus Christ, how they mocked him and called him all kinds of names, how they talked about him and they weren't on his side. They put stripes on his back, but hallelujah for the stripes. because by his stripes I've been healed. Hallelujah. But we can't stop the message at the passion of Jesus, that it was him. But we take it on into the crucifixion. And we go to the crucifixion and we get excited that he was crucified, that he stayed on the cross because the curse, hallelujah, was removed because Jesus bore the cross. And we get excited because he bore the cross, the curse on the cross at the crucifixion. But it's not the passion that we ought to stop at, and it's not the crucifixion that we ought to stop at. But we get excited, church, over this thing called the resurrection, because we found that he came on. Don't shout yet. Don't shout yet, because I want to tell you something. That I know that they went to the empty grave and they didn't find it. It means he rose with all power in his hands. We preach it on the third day, saying that he got up from the grave. He was not there because he conquered death, hell, and the grave. But guess what? I found in my wisdom, in my years of searching scripture, that we can't stop at the celebration of just the resurrection, because there's something that followed after the resurrection, and it's called the ascension. You say, what happened there, church? What happened there? Jesus went back to heaven. I got 1 minute to tell you this. He said, it's expedient that I go away, because if I stay here, then one like me won't come and fill you. One coming like you. He said, guess what? He said, it's not just about the preaching, but it's about the practice. You can't practice being like Christ unless you get him on the inside. You can't practice being like, hey, you got to celebrate, because now it's your turn, CIU, to start doing the reconciliation work that Christ so died for. It's your turn right now. The practice has got to be put in place. Reconciliation work is in the seat right now. It's with the brother that's sitting next to you and the brother and the sister that's on the opposite side of you. Reconciliation work is with the folk that don't know Jesus Christ, and you're the only vessel that they'll ever get an opportunity to hear. Reconciliation work happens in your schools and in your communities. Reconciliation work happens when you get on the plane and you go across seas to tell somebody that Jesus lives, and he's reconciling brothers and sisters back to the fold. Reconciliation work happens when you're out in the field and telling somebody that I know of a Savior that can heal you, can save you, can deliver you and set you free. Reconciliation work happens when you put it in practice. It's not about just having a problem. You've got to know that there's a provision for a problem. And once there's a provision, we ought to be faithful to preach the message. But now that Jesus has gone back to his home in glory, he sent down the Holy Spirit so that he might fill us, that he might live in us, that he might breathe through us, that he might teach us and talk to us and cause us to be the reconciling agents that transform the world. I say this, transform the world, CIU. Make one new man out of two in every situation. Every time you come up to a brother that does not know Jesus, tell him, I'm the gift that you need for today to reconcile you back to the Father today. One new man out of two. Do your work. Be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.